for a Verdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.
Welcome back to Afro Verdict, your one-stop podcast for global and local issues with an African perspective. I'm your host, Victor Anakin, and today's episode dives into the latest flare-up between Nigerian activists and Chevron, a major oil company with a long and complex history in the country. Tensions have risen sharply as Nigerian activists accuse Chevron of overlooking qualified local Itsekiri talent during its recent recruitment drive. This has now sparked outrage amongst many who believe Chevron has a responsibility to prioritize qualified Nigerian Itsekiri local specialists for these open positions. The lack of local recruitment is seen as a missed opportunity to empower Nigerian professionals and contribute to the nation's economic development, especially in the Niger Delta region. To shed light on the situation and its complexities, we've invited two esteemed guests to the show today. Joining us is Mr. Ben Eberajulo, the president of the National Association of Itsekiri Graduates. We're also joined by Mr. Collins Edema, the former president of the National Association of Itsekiri Graduates and currently the sole representative of the Olu of Warri to the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation. And their unique position will give us a valuable perspective on the NAIG, their history on the intersection of community activism and Nigeria's oil industry. We'll also hear insights from the perspective of the Itsekiri people, an ethnic group indigenous to the Niger Delta with a long history intertwined with the oil industry. Without further ado, let's welcome our guests and get the show running. All right, Mr. Ben Eberajulo, Mr. Collins Edema, welcome to the AfroVerdict podcast and thank you so much for joining me. Since there are two of you and our listeners cannot see you physically, let's start off with a brief introduction from each and one of you so that our listeners can just tune their ears to your voices and recognize you as soon as you speak. Mr. Eberajulo, would you care to begin for us?
My name is Ben Eitemi Eberajulo. I am the national president of National Association of Itsekiri Graduates. It is the umbrella body of all Itsekiris all over the world. I am from the riverine area of Delta State, to be precise, the Ile community.
Excellent, Mr. Abrojula, thank you very much. Now, next up is Mr. Collins Edema. Please, the floor is all yours.
Good morning. My name is Collins Edema. I am the immediate past president, National Association of Itsekiri Graduates. The Itsekiri people are a tribe in the Niger Delta, the single ethnic nationality that produces the highest crude oil production quantum in Nigeria. As of today, I am the sole representative of the Olu of Warri to the NNPC.
Right. Well, thank you once again for letting our listeners get used to your voices. Now, I'd like to talk to both of you about the latest news that the graduates of the Itsekiri peoples under the aegis of the National Association of Itsekiri Graduates have threatened to shut down Chevron Nigeria Limited Company. Mr. Eberajulo, could you care to explain to our listeners the reason behind this decision? What is going on?
First of all, let me also educate our readers that the Itsekiri people of Delta State, Edo State, Ondo State are peace-loving people, very accommodating and understanding. Now, before we go to the stage of the Itsekiri graduates threatening to shut down Chevron, we have swallowed a lot. We have let so many things pass, but this time around, we said no. We must take the bull by the horn to get what rightfully belongs to us.
Yes, of course. And I mean, you're making a very strong point that people's patience runs out no matter their resources and etc. People will get fed up from being exploited and mismanaged. Well, Mr. Edema, perhaps you could walk us through the origin of this situation. Perhaps what was going on during the time when you were in charge.
Okay. First, let me give a brief history. The National Association of Itsekiri Graduates is an alumni body, just like you have alumni body of your own institution if you are a graduate from a university, technical school, a high school. But for National Association of Ishekiri Graduates, is an alumni of Ishekiri graduates from different institutions, both those that have first degree, master's degree, doctorate degree from various institutions across the world. So first, it's not an association of jobless people. We have professors, technocrats, military men, and all that. But the association was founded in 1997 due to high rate of unemployment in our midst, despite the fact that crude oil was discovered in Ishekiri land since 1963. It was actually discovered by Gulf Corporation, G-U-L-F, Gulf Corporation in 1963. And in 1993, Chevron acquired Gulf. And since Chevron acquired Gulf, things have become worse for graduates of Ishekiri ethnic extraction. Hence, our founders, sometimes around 1995 to 97, came up with this association. And in 1997, the association was formally inaugurated to fight for graduate job opportunities, especially among oil companies operating in Ishekiri land, majorly Chevron. But aside Chevron, we have Shell Petroleum Development Company, we have Total, we have Gun Oil, we have Seplat, we have probably 10, 15 other oil companies. But Chevron is the major oil company because about 90% of Chevron operation in Nigeria is on Ishekiri soil, and Chevron is the third largest oil producer in Nigeria, oil exploration company in Nigeria. I became the president of this association in 2016. And when I came on board, I saw that first, the graduate training program that Chevron introduced around 2005 had stopped for reasons best known to them. The last batch of the trainees that they trained between 2013 to 2015, they refused to regularize their employment or give them proper employment. They just kept them there and keep renewing their training contract every 6 months. This is despite the fact that they finished both classroom training and on-the-job training. We wrote to Chevron that these Ishekiri graduate trainees must be employed and their employment regularized. Chevron refused then, citing the poor, low price of crude oil at the international market as the reason they cannot engage them as staff. But these people are working the same work. They are doing the same jobs that Chevron staffs are doing, but are being paid peanuts as trainees. They are doing the exact job Chevron staffs are doing. So it's not that there is no job for them to do, but Chevron prefer to keep them as trainees because they are paying them peanuts. They earn less than, as at then, they earn less than $10 a day for their allowance. Training allowance is less than $10 a day, far, far less than, I think, about $6 a day. That was what they were earning. And the average Chevron staff then earn between $900 to $1,500 per day for the same job that they were doing. So you can see the difference. So we started fighting for them, and we're also fighting for opportunities for fresh graduates to come on board. When Chevron refused, we wrote a petition in 2018 to the Federal House of Assembly, the National House of Assembly in Abuja, precisely the House of Representatives, the House Committee on Labor, to complain to them that Chevron has perpetually enslaved our graduates. They have kept them in slave labor, despite being qualified, despite doing the same jobs their staffs were doing. And the House Committee Chairman slammed Chevron and asked Chevron to give them proper contracts. Till we speak, they gave them just a poor contract where they are paid just a little above what they were earning before. Let me not bother you with that. So, as I was rounding up, I rounded up in 2020 and handed over to Ben. While rounding up, there were some opportunities because there is a project in our land called the EGTL gas plant. You can Google it later. The EGTL gas plant is one of its kind in Africa. It's called Escravos Gas to Liquid. It's a plant that converts gas to liquid. They convert to naphtha, condensate, and pure diesel, and also sell some of the gas as LPG. It is only in our land you can get that in the whole of Africa. When that project was commissioned and it was working, we find out that Chevron staffs who are not from our area, other parts of Nigeria precisely, we are bringing their families, their kids and kin, people that are not even up to our own graduates academically. They are employing them. The problem now is not maybe they give us opportunity for recruitment, we'll go for interview and fail. No. This issue is that they don't even give us opportunity to participate in the recruitment process. They do the recruitment secretly, bring them to our facility, and they are working there because they feel the facility is protected with the Nigerian military. So we cannot do anything to them. We have been law-abiding, like Ben was saying, in the history of Nigeria. And oil exploration, the Shekri Nation has not taken arms against the federal government. Even when the Niger Delta was at its lowest due to the crisis, militants and all that, the Shekri Nation has never been involved in militancy. But what we see today is that we have been punished by Nigerian National Petroleum Company Limited now, and its joint venture partners. We are being punished by them for being peaceful, for being law-abiding, for not taking laws into our hands. They prefer to pay militants. They prefer to pay those that are from ethnic groups that have taken arms against the federal government. That's what we are going through.
All right, Mr. Edema, thank you very much for that historical background that you shared with us. Mr. Eborajula, I would like to get back to you. So given the historical context, how did you find your association in the position that it is now? What triggered or what sparked this bold move from your part?
Okay, thank you so much. What informed us to want to shut down Chevron is the fact that we got wind of an information that Chevron wants to, you know, carry out employment. And when we got wind of the, we wrote a letter to them that, okay, this is what you want to do as a host to your multinational, your company. And according to the local content law of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, we demand 60% of every employment, all the employment you want to do in your establishment. And as usual, they went behind without any national publication to tell the Nigerian populace that there will be job opportunity. So they did what we call backyard employment, otherwise known as secret employment, bringing their families. And they will do what we call take them as contract staff. Then after a while, they will now convert them to a normal staff. Then they will tell you it was an in-house employment. Even while doing that, they didn't even take into consideration the host community. You can't be exploring oil, crude oil from our land. You employ over 300 persons, and maybe just like 10 are from the community, are from your host. It is an aberration. It is a slight on the people of that community. So we have written a letter severally to them. They would not listen. And the only language that these people understand is when you disrupt their production, their activities. That's when they will come to the table and negotiate with you and do the right thing. That is what Chevron understands. And that's why we are taking the pains to let them know that we are going to shut down their facility, and that will affect the economy of the nation. And if it affects the economy of the nation, I believe the relevant authorities will call Chevron to order to do the right thing. That is, it's a peaceful protest, a peaceful shutdown. No, there will be no break of law and order. We just want to get what rightly belongs to us, to the Ishekiri Nation.
Well, Mr. Brajula, thank you very much for that as well. At least now we know what is going on the ground real time. Mr. Edema, I'd like to go a little more into detail. You've now mentioned several laws, right? And from what we know, the company conducted a large-scale recruitment without advertising in any national dailies or in its official website, or through any third party for that matter. To what extent are these multinational companies are legally required to offer jobs to local communities? Is there a law that stipulates that specifically?
Yeah, by the Nigerian Oil and Gas Development Content Act 2010, it's popularly called LUCA content law in Nigeria. By that act, any oil company in Nigeria is supposed to give a reasonable part of employment opportunity to people from the host community. So in the case of Chevron, Ishekiri is the host. They are supposed to give Ishekiri graduates reasonable percentage of the employment number they want to do. So that automatically mandates them to get the Ishekiri people involved whenever they want to employ. I am not talking of contract staff, because these oil companies, like any other company anywhere in the world, they have regular staff and those on contract. Those on contract can work 5 years, contract maybe 2 years renewable, it may be 3 years renewable, after 3 years or 4 years, whatever the contract duration, you get a severance package and your contract can be renewed or terminated. For a full-time staff, it means you are on a permanent employment till you are 60 years. By Chevron standard, is when you are 60 years that you can go on retirement. So by the labor content law, local content law, or rather the Nigerian Oil and Gas Development Act of 2010, Chevron is mandated to give reasonable quantity of reasonable percentage of every employment to the Ishekiri people.
So basically, we are now confident that there's been a breach of law. And well, let's continue with the interview to find out what should be done. Mr. Brajula, in your opinion, what are the responsibilities of Western multinational companies towards the country in which they are operating?
First, I want to narrow it down to the communities that they operate, because where they operate from, those are the people who, you know, bear the hazard of oil exploration. So I want to narrow it down to the host communities that host this multinational. Their responsibility, one, is to provide us corporate social responsibilities, to provide potable water, good health care facility, electricity, We know, okay, that's part of the government responsibility, but in as much as they take huge chunk of oil from the land, they can provide electricity, train our people in vocational skills, these, and employ us. This one is a must. They must employ 60% of their host community in whatever way or whatever they are doing, both in giving out contracts, because we have the human capital to do that. We have local contractors who can match any companies, any contract in the world. So I see no reason why Chevron would take what rightly belongs to us and give it to the outside world. I call it the outside world because once it leaves the community, it becomes the outside world. Because the law is expressly stated that 60% must be given to the host community. And these are their responsibilities. And they have failed in all of this. If you go to our communities today, the woman who is pregnant will have to apply a ferry, a speedboat, for close to 2 hours to get medical care. If she wants to give birth, you can imagine as small as malaria kills people in our communities. Headache kills people in our community because there are no medical facility, no good potable water to drink. There's diseases everywhere, no good school. The people are not employed. Sometimes they come up with 10 days job, 2 days job, and after then, for 2 years, the person does not have anything to do. They have failed in all their social, their corporate social responsibilities.
All right. And I'd also like to ask Mr. Edema, to what extent do Western countries, by means of such operation, engage in policies of neocolonialism? Could we perhaps view this as some kind of new type of slavery, wherein there's no reciprocity between Western countries and the local populations?
Yeah, you are right. It's like slavery. Unfortunately, the Shekiri nation is bearing the heaviest burden of such slavery. As at today, the employability rate of the Shekiri graduate is the lowest in Nigeria, despite the fact that we are the first in sub-Saharan Africa. You can Google it. We are the first in sub-Saharan Africa to acquire Western education. A prince of Warri Kingdom was sent to Portugal in 1602 to study in the University of Coimbra. The Shekiri man is the first man from sub-Saharan Africa to acquire university education. So we are quite educated. But like you said, Western companies, companies from the Western world, Chevron is an American company, American-owned company. Their headquarters is in San Ramon. They have offices in Texas and San Ramon. You discover that the policy of Chevron in San Ramon is different from the policy they have in Nigeria. In fact, they are also in Richmond, Canada. The policy of Chevron in Richmond, Canada is different from their policy in Nigeria. The Chevron corporate headquarters in San Ramon is only interested in the profit they make from Nigeria. Not interested in the welfare of the community. They are not interested in the welfare of the people. We don't share any part of their profit from the sales of oil in our land. We are not involved in the drilling of the crude oil. No Ishekiri-owned businesses is awarded contract for drilling, for well maintenance, for production, and so on and so forth. Not because we don't have the capacity or competence. We have graduates that have studied in Russia, where you are from, Ukraine, Germany, UK, US, the part of the Caribbean, other parts of Africa. We have graduates from all fields of life. But surprisingly, probably, because we have a very small population, unfortunately, why we have the highest oil production quantum in Nigeria, we are one of the smallest ethnic group in terms of population. So probably because of our population, nobody cares. Even the government does not care because it's like majority. We always, like they say, you know, Nigeria is practicing democracy. They said democracy is the government of the people, by the people, for the people. But in Nigeria, I would say democracy is the government of the oppressor, because whoever oppresses you becomes the majority. Our population has made them to oppress us. There is little or nothing we can do. We don't get employment, even in government-owned institutions. There are different development agencies that have been set up by the government. We don't get equal opportunities with other graduates from other parts of the Niger Delta. So for your question, yes, Western companies really probably doing another form of neo-colonialism in this part of the world.
All right, well, now that we've covered the problem itself pretty well and extensively, I want to know, since this is the disadvantage that Western countries create in Nigeria, for example, what should Nigerians and African countries demand of Western multinational companies, and how should Africans join the fight against this?
Well, I think first thing is for Africa to be united. Unfortunately, even though we have the AU, Africa is not really united. Even West Africa, ECOWAS is here. ECOWAS is not united. Like I was saying earlier, democracy has been good and bad. The good part is it gives you the voice to speak, like we are speaking right now. We can speak, we can talk, we have freedom of speech. We can do a lot with that in a democratic situation. But generally, there is little, even your voice cannot be heard beyond, if not for a platform like this, probably our voice, we just end in our bedroom. So Africa really needs to shun discrimination, shun selfishness, greed. The average African man takes opportunity of his fellow brothers. That's why we could sell ourselves into slavery. When they see opportunity to take advantage of another African man, the African man, the average African man is very okay. Probably because of so much poverty, so much lack and want, the fact that you provide almost everything for yourself, the government, there is no system, no proper system in place to take care of you, your children, or your grandchildren, even when you are gone. So because of that, we have greediness, a high rate of greed, where people want to amass wealth. People want to, instead of seeing working for each other and being united to see that we are all liberated, we prefer to backstab each other and take advantage of the other person's situation.
Mr. Edema, thank you very much. And Mr. Borajulo, what about you? What is your opinion on, well, the question that I just asked about what Africans and Nigerians should do in order to stop situations where local people find themselves exploited by multinational Western corporations and companies?
African leaders, especially the Nigerian government, need to stand up and defend our citizens from these international oil companies, the IOCs. They should not allow the IOCs to enslave our citizens. It is not a good thing. Policies to that effect should be implemented, and any IOCs who go or do contrary to these policies to protect the Africans should be punished for it. Our leaders shouldn't fold their arms and watch as citizens being enslaved, being marginalized, and the companies get away with it. If you do not do anything about something, nothing comes out of it. And that is the reason why we want to take our destinies into our hands by shutting down the operation of Chevron Nigeria Limited. Since the government can no longer protect us, yes, they have given us laws to protect us, but the laws are not being enforced. Maybe we should help them enforce this law. Hence, this shutting down of multinational. We've been enslaved for too long. Now that we are free from our colonial masters, are they using these multinationals to start another form of slavery? No, we would not take that, because we are free citizens of Nigeria and from where we come from. So in rounding up, our leaders, especially the African leaders, should stand up and defend our citizens with all legal rights, legal process. Thank you.
Well, that wraps up our conversation on the standoff between Nigerian activists and Chevron, a complex issue with no easy answers, yet one that highlights the ongoing struggle for economic empowerment in resource-rich regions like the Niger Delta. A big thank you to our esteemed guests, Mr. Ben Abarajulo and Mr. Collins Edema, for sharing their insights with us today. If this episode resonated with you and you'd like to learn more about the situation in the Niger Delta and what's going on with Chevron, or perhaps share your own thoughts, head over to our Sputnik Africa Telegram channel and join the conversation. That's Sputnik Africa. Please do engage respectfully with the topic and explore different perspectives in order to learn. Don't forget to check out previous AfroVerdict episodes on popular podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Pocket Casts, AfriPods, Castbox, and Podcast Addict. AfroVerdict is now also on Spotify, so if that's your go-to platform for podcasts, enjoy AfroVerdict anytime. As always, this is your AfroVerdict host, Victor Anakin. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And as always, until the next episode.
AfroVerdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.